Good morning. It's good to see everybody. If you're a guest, we're so glad you're with us. And if you maybe hadn't been in a while, we're glad you're with us. And we hope you feel right at home. As you saw in the video, in the month of November, we will be receiving the Baptist Children's Home offering. I was able to take the things that you all donated down, and they were very, very appreciative of those things. Thank you to everybody who donated for the food roundup. God has always provided. As I've talked to different staff members at the children's home, it's amazing to hear them talk about how they've had what seem like nearly impossible situations, even with finances or food or whatever it is. God always seems to provide for them. And so that tells me that God is moving and working down there, because what he calls people to do, he always provides for. And you all know that went, I believe last year, when we went down, we got to meet that, meet the children in that home and the house parents. There are kids that come in there that have endured incredible, terrible things. And God is using the Baptist Children's Home to not only minister to the emotional hurts that these kids have experienced and the physical needs, but many kids are coming to Christ as a result of the ministry of the Baptist Children's Home. So I encourage you this month in November to please pray about it and give as the Lord leads you to support. It goes 100% to the Baptist Children's Home to support their ministry. Fall Festival Committee has a sign-up sheet in the vestibule if you want to bring baked items. Is that still good? All right. And you need to bring those. If you sign up, make sure and bring that baked good to the KMD on Friday, November 6th. On the table in the back, if you're interested, there are 2020 general election voter guides. These are nonpartisan. They're provided. There's actually two different ones. Chris Hooser provided some that he had received, but there's also some others that I received. We were going to put them in the bulletin, which I'll mention that to you here in just a moment. But those were provided by the Faith and Freedom Coalition, but they're all nonpartisan, and it's just information to help you as you pray. If you hadn't already voted, These are tools that will help you understand where each candidate stands on different issues. And on that note, if you have not voted, I encourage you to get out and vote. To go, I believe early voting is over. Is that right? It ended yesterday. So get out Tuesday. If you haven't been, the early college, the setup was incredible. That's the best setup I've seen. And so it's safe, everybody's distanced, they are sanitizing the booths and everything, wiping them down. So I encourage you, go vote, be the salt and light God's called you to be, to influence our culture through your vote. There are so many people that take the vote for granted, and when we do that, number one, as I've said, we're not being the salt and light God's called us to be. But number two, we're taking the lives for granted of all the people that have fought and given their lives so that we can have the freedoms that we have. So when you vote, I look at it this way. When I vote, it's an opportunity for me to honor those who died so I could have these freedoms. But it's also being salt and light that God's called me to be. Not all countries get to do this, but we do. God's blessed us to be able to do this. So get out and vote Tuesday. But pick up one of those guides and look it over. On that same note, on the table in the back, there's a prayer walk in Yadkinville this afternoon. It is from 2 to 3:30, and we'll be starting at the post office in Yadkinville. You know where that is, so I assume all the parking is going to start. Right, that's where everyone's going to park, I assume. And then we're going to go, we're going to walk to the Yakin County EMS there at the old hospital, I believe. We're going to go by the school board administrative office. We're going to go to the Yakinville Police Department, and then we're going to end up at the courthouse. And they've asked me, I'm going to be participating in offering the prayer at the courthouse. But at each station, this is similar to what we were able to go and do in Washington, D.C. with Franklin Graham's prayer walk. We're going to stop at each place, pray for specific things at each stop. So I encourage you, if you're able and want to come, please come on out. Again, it's from 2 to 3:30, and there's several area churches that are participating, and people from across our county. We're just getting together to pray for our country, to pray for our leaders, pray for one another, and our fellow citizens here in Yakin County. It's not just prayer for the general election. We're also praying for our state and local officials, our judges, our state legislature, everyone. So I encourage you, come on out and pray with us. Come on out and walk with us if you can. There's a note here, the church office. Judy is back in the church office again, if you didn't know. Her normal hours are 8:30 to 2:30, Monday through Thursday. We do ask that you please limit in-person visits unless it's necessary. And if you do come, wear a mask and keep your distance from her if you can. And if you need to contact her, please contact her during normal office hours. There's a temptation for us to want to call her at home or stop by and knock on her front door. Please respect her. Let's try to respect her hourly schedule as much as we can. I know there's emergencies and things that come up, but remember, she is hourly. And so we want to try and respect that as much as we can. She hasn't complained. It's just something I want to make sure as a reminder. As she's coming back into the office, let's try and respect her privacy and her time outside of those hours. Offering envelope, this is not in the bulletin. Offering envelopes, box sets for 2021 are on the table in the back in the vestibule there on the left. If you'd like one, please pick one up and take it with you. They're very helpful. They're dated. And there's also, for all of the missions offerings that we receive, there's a special envelope in there, so it's already designated. All you have to do is put your name, envelope number, and the amount, and it's already on the envelope what it's for. But I encourage you to pick one of those up. We've actually ordered another box. Something the deacons and I have been discussing, right now we're still receiving the offering this way, but we're talking about building a offering box so that you can drop those in to reduce that physical contact. And on that same, so what we would like for everyone to do is please get a box and use those envelopes so when you come in, you drop it in the box, it'll be hands off, hands free, and safe. Safe as we can be. On that same note, we have decided that we're not going to print the bulletins for a while. Again, that's something that everyone's handling. We don't want people handing those out that could have the virus and those type things. So we've decided it's going to be online and on Facebook. It'll be posted weekly. So I know that's one of those things many of you like to have. But we really feel like we need to hold off on printing those right now as a safety precaution. It just makes sense. We've taken up the hymnals. We've taken up the pew cushions. That's to make the sermon more effective. No, I'm kidding. Don't want you to get too comfortable. But no. We've taken up those things, and, you know, it just makes sense not to have the paper bulletins that everyone's handling as well. So we want everybody to be safe, and so we're trying our best to make sure we take precautions to keep everybody safe. Going down the bulletin for the next, just a few more things I'll highlight. Please go online, check out all these announcements. They're also here on the screen as you come in. But deacons will meet briefly after worship. Fall Festival, again, is November 7th from 8 to 2. Next Sunday, we will recognize our veterans during the service. And then we'll have our regular monthly business meeting after the worship service. Messengers, if you are a messenger for 2020, the annual meeting for the Baptist State Convention is November 10th from 1 to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Normally they spread it out over a couple days, but they've condensed it this year, obviously for safety reasons. So if you messengers, if you would like to go, I'm planning to go. It'll be at First Baptist Church, Charlotte. If you would like to go, let me know as soon as you can, because they do have limited seating. They are going to have an overflow, but there's also limited seating inside. I need to get you registered, because you have to get a ticket too. That's the way they're monitoring how many come. So let me know, any of you messengers, if you can't go, that's fine. You know, I get it. People got to work, people got to do other things. But if you want to go and you're able, it's November 10th from 1 to 5 p.m. at First Baptist Church, Charlotte. Let me know if you want to go, and I'll get you registered and get you a ticket. Also, don't forget about Operation Christmas Child. The collection week is November 16th through the 23rd. Please turn in your boxes. We're not having a packing party this year, but there are boxes in the vestibule on the right as you leave. If you want to pick up a box, we're encouraging everybody to pack your own boxes. And you can bring those back by Wednesday, November 18th. Don't forget the $9 shipping that goes with the box. But please have those back by Wednesday, November 18th. If you look in your bulletin, if you look online at the bulletin, there's also a list of suggested items that you can pack. You can also, if you're not comfortable getting out and going shopping and getting the things, you can go online to SamaritansPurse.org and pack a shoebox online for $25. Contactless completely. They'll pack one for you. So I encourage you to get involved. Remember, these boxes go to kids around the world that are in poverty, that have not heard the gospel. So these kids, when they get these boxes, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It tells them that somebody loves me. Somebody cared enough to send me a shoebox. And then it allows those people that are ministering to their needs, their physical needs, it also enables them to share the gospel with them. So please fill up a shoebox. All right. Any other announcements? These ladies have been working really, really hard, and they do. They've got some nice looking stuff over there for Christmas, so come check it out. All right, if you're able to help, if you can be here and help, let them know. Let Sarah or Shirley, let any of the ladies know if you'd be willing to come and help and crowd control and serving biscuits. There's probably a ton of things that you need to do.
I was going to do this last Sunday, but considering we did everything virtual last Sunday, I'm going to do it this Sunday. The month of October is pastor appreciation, or was a pastor appreciation. And so I'm going to give this card to Justin in appreciation for all that he does and all that he goes and does way beyond what a lot of them do. So, Justin, thank you. We love you, and we appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank y'all so much. And it's humbling to receive something like this. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to do everything perfect. I'm not going to make all the best decisions. There's going to be times where, as we say, we have to back up and punt. But, you know, at least we tried something. And that's kind of where my heart's at right now during this coronavirus thing. Let's try. Let's don't quit. Let's move forward best we can. And sometimes that means trying different things and getting out of our comfort box. And so I appreciate you all who've been understanding during this time. I love each and every one of you. If I didn't, I don't need to be doing what I'm doing. But I do. I love you. And, you know, the last almost, it's hard to believe, almost 3 years have been wonderful. And you all, from day one, have been so welcoming to me and my family, supportive. I feel the prayers. Many of you tell me that you're praying for me, praying for the church, and I feel it. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus and keep moving forward, doing what he's called us to do. Because this world needs Jesus. Our community needs Jesus. And we need to take Jesus to them. They need to see Jesus in us. So let's do that. What will make your pastor happier than anything is to see you all be in the hands and feet of Jesus. I don't have any other agenda other than that. It's to help you grow in your faith and to mobilize you and encourage you as you be salt and light for Jesus. That's it. That's all I want. So thank you. Thank you so much. I love you all. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, thank you so much. I thank you for this congregation. Father, I pray for the ones who are not able to be here or maybe are not comfortable being here. Help them know that we love them and help us to reach out, check on them, to encourage them. Father, I pray for the ones that are here that you would mobilize us to minister to each other, to love one another. But Father, more than anything, to love our community, to show them the love of Jesus Christ, to tell them about Jesus and what he's done for them. I pray for our country. Father, our country, we have strayed in so many ways, but Father, I know revival is possible. Forgiveness is available if we will turn back to you and repent of our sins. Father, I pray you would change our hearts and our minds. Turn our hearts back to you. This morning, may you be glorified in each and everything that we say and do. Because we're here for your honor and your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank
you. We begin our songs this morning with a hymn that is may not be as familiar to you as some that we sing, and also the second one as well, but we're going to begin with Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. Let's stand and sing. While we try to preach the touch of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you stumbling on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sisters, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Our next song today is "Because I Have Been Given Much." And I'll play through this because you may not be as familiar with this song as some of the other ones. Thank you.
Wonderful songs. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you that you do spread sweet manna all around. When we pray and we seek your will, you provide for us. You give us the sustenance that we need to survive in the ministry and work that you've called us to do. You give us what we need to raise our children, to keep our homes, to honor and glorify you, to train our children. Father, we thank you for all that you do provide for us. And Father, I pray that as we receive these tithes and offerings and as we give, that this would be more than just tossing money in the plate, but Father, this would be something, an act of worship, an act of thankfulness and gratefulness for all that you have provided for us. I pray that you would bless each gift. May it be used only for your honor and your glory, for the building of your kingdom, for the reaching of the lost. And bless the one that gives from a cheerful and grateful heart. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
If you watched our children's sermon last week online, does anybody watch and remember what we talked about? Anybody remember? What, Hannah? The quietest. Anybody remember? Okay, Bailey remembered. The quietest town was Green Bank, West Virginia. All right, so a little recap. It's the Green Bank Telescope. It listens to radio waves out in space, and so within a several miles radius, there's no cell phone, no microwaves, no Wi-Fi, no Bluetooth, anything, all right, so that this telescope can work. Well, there's something else about this telescope that led to the children's sermon for today. So this telescope is made up of, I have to remember how many thousand metal panels, 2,004 metal panels, and it's almost 2 acres, so the inside of the telescope. That would be 1.5 times the size of a football field. So take a football field and another half. That's how big this thing is. It's taller than the Statue of Liberty and almost as tall as the Washington Monument. It is the largest movable item on Earth, and it can move within the width of your hair of being accurate. Now, you're saying, why am I telling you all this? Well, to make this all work, you can imagine there had to be a lot of planning and a lot of thinking everything through to make this work. Well, when we were there, they told us they forgot to account for one little thing, the paint. So now, because they didn't account for the weight of the paint, the track that it's on is cracking. Now, when he told us that, I looked at Joel and said, paint doesn't weigh that much. But when you think about it on something that big, that much paint adds up. So that got me to thinking about our sins. Sometimes we think this one little sin of maybe not quite telling the whole truth doesn't matter. But when all those little sins start adding up, just like the paint on that big telescope, it can crack our faith, it can crack our witness. So I hope this week we'll all think about that those little things do matter, just like that little bit of paint on something that big is making it so the track is cracking and they're going to have to do something with the track, all because the engineers did not account for the weight of that paint. So in 1 John 3, 4 through 7, I forgot to bring my Bible with me, it is talking about how it doesn't matter if our sins are little or if they're big, they're still sin, and that it makes a huge difference. So hopefully this week we'll all think about those little things that we think, oh, that won't matter. Think about that paint on that big telescope. It makes all the difference in the world. God loves you, and so do we.
Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Macklin. If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to move as quickly as I can because I talked too long at the beginning. In the Sermon on the Mount, as we continue our study in the life of Christ, I know it seems like we're moving really slow right now through His life. We haven't moved from the mountain. But this is a very important message. Keep in mind, from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7, this is one sermon that He preached. And there are many important things that He brings out in this sermon that we need to stop and camp on for just a moment. Once we get through this, things will move a little bit quicker, I think. But in Matthew chapter 7, remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is setting the standards for kingdom living, how believers should conduct themselves in the kingdom of God. He talks about different things such as righteous attitudes. Remember, we looked at the Beatitudes. And these are ways that we should be, is another way to think about it. These should be our attitudes. It should be who we are. He talks about behavior. Throughout these chapters, you can look back and see. He talks about helping others, loving your enemies. Talks about marriage. He talks about murder. I mean, he talks about a variety of different things. He also talks about our worship. He talks about prayer and fasting and loving God first, not pursuing the things of the world, not letting your body get... talks about the lamp of the body is the eye, and he talks about not letting it get corrupted by the things of the world. Talks about worry, many different things he touches on. He talks about stewardship even. But here, as we come to chapter 7, he addresses what righteous relationships look like. In verses 1 through 6, we see the negative side of it. He gives a negative command, you might say. He says, don't judge. Don't be a judgmental, critical person towards other people. But then he turns it on its head, beginning at verse 7, and says, rather, here's the positive command. And that's where we're going to pick up here. And we're going to look at how we should treat others as we want to be treated ourselves. Matthew chapter 7, we'll read verses 7 and 8 to begin. If you would, please stand in honor of God's word as we read it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Father, I pray as we look at your word this morning, you would speak to our hearts. Help us to understand the need to have good relationships with other people, to love other people and serve them in the ways that you've called us to do, to love others and treat others as we want to be treated ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. As I said, we should love and serve others the way we would want to be loved and served. And in verses 7 and 8,
We begin with a promise. Jesus makes a promise. He says when believers ask, when they seek, and when they knock, God answers. God provides wisdom to love other people. Now, these verses are often taken out of context. What God is not doing here, and there are many who preach a prosperity gospel today that says if you follow Jesus, everything's just going to be hunky-dory. You're going to amass all this wealth and you're going to be all this stuff. That is not what the Word of God says. Jesus said, the world hated me, they're going to hate you. He said, you can expect adversity. Anyone who follows Jesus is going against the world. Now, he promises abundant, fulfilling life. And so in that respect, oh yes, we are blessed tremendously. We avoid a lot of the pitfalls of sin that the world falls into because we trust and obey him. In that sense, we are blessed. He promises abundant life in the sense we live with a fulfilling purpose. We know our purpose, and that's to bring honor and glory to God. And that brings great fulfillment and satisfaction in life. When we are satisfied with Him and not satisfied with the world, we know our eternal destiny. We know where we're going. And that is fulfilling abundant life that only comes through Jesus Christ. But what he's not saying here, and this is important to understand, God does not promise to give everyone who prays exactly what they want. Let me give you five keys to effective prayer. And it will address how we know Jesus is not saying this. Number one, effective prayer is only possible for believers. In other words, you have to be a believer to be an effective prayer person, you might say. How do I know that? You say, well, that just doesn't seem fair. Well, I didn't say it. Let me present a couple of things to you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. We won't read it, but flip back. Who's he talking to? He saw the multitudes. He went up on a mountain. I am going to read it. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught who? He was teaching his disciples. This sermon was given, the teachings are given to his disciples. The crowd is just listening in. That's the context of the Sermon on the Mount. He is preaching to his disciples. The crowd that gathered is just listening in. So read it in that respect. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to believers here. And the crowd is listening in. This promise is only made to believers elsewhere in Scripture. We could look at several different passages, but one of the best ones is John chapter 9 in verse 31. And you remember, this was the man, I believe, if I remember correctly, I should have written it down. This is the man that he healed at the pool of Bethesda. And you remember, they were challenging him about this. And this is what the man said. He said, now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. So there is the truth. There is the fact that this promise was made to the disciples. It was made to believers that if we ask, it will be given to us. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, it will be opened to us. The promise was made to believers and only believers, as we see throughout Scripture, only believers, the next point is going to hammer it home a little more, but only believers can offer effective prayers because God only hears the prayers of believers. There is one unbeliever prayer. There is one exception. There is only one unbeliever prayer that God hears, and that's the prayer of repentance for salvation. Beyond that, the prayers go no higher than the ceiling for unbelievers. Another key, number two, to effective prayer is effective prayer is accompanied by obedience. Well, you can't be obedient unless you're first a believer, unless you've first received Jesus Christ. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, We see a similar promise. And whatever we ask, it says, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You can't have you can't have effective prayer without first being obedient. They go together. It's kind of like love and marriage, peas and carrots. They go together. Effective prayer, I must first be obedient. I must first be doing what God's called me to do if I want Him to hear my prayers and answer them. God hears believers who are on good terms with Him. We won't read these, but Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. You go over to Isaiah 59:1-2, it says, the Lord's not hard of hearing. I'm paraphrasing now, but He says He's not hard of hearing or too weak that He cannot save. But then verse 2 says, but your sins, your iniquities have separated you from your God so that He will not hear. We see that principle all through Scripture. Effective prayer, you must be saved, you must be obedient, living in obedience to what He's called you to do and be. But number 3, another key to effective prayer is you have to have a pure motive. James chapter 4 verse 3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. God doesn't give us everything we want, but He will give us what we need. And that's another important principle. Number 4, effective prayer, it seeks and submits to God's will. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Effective prayer submits to God's will. Just as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember, He said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Even as Jesus prayed, He sought His Father's will above His own. And when we pray, if we want our prayers to be effective, we have to pray in that same manner. And number 5, effective prayer is persistent. Now, I'm going to tell you something. For a lot of my life, I failed right here. Sometimes I would throw up a prayer and say, Lord, if it be your will, please fix this problem. And that's the only time I prayed about it. And if God didn't answer, I just assumed, well, it's not His will. That is not what Scripture teaches. Jesus Himself didn't teach this. We won't look at it, but Luke chapter 11, in verses 5 through 11, Jesus gives the parable of the persistent friend. And He says that what He does, He paints the picture here of a guy coming in the middle of the night and knocking on his friend's door and saying, I need food, we're hungry, won't you give us something? And the guy says, go away. Me and my family, we're in the bed, what's wrong with you? But the guy keeps knocking and he keeps knocking and he keeps knocking. And eventually, because of his persistence, Jesus says, the guy comes to the door and helps him. And Jesus gives the exact application of that parable when He finishes it. And guess what He says? Ask, seek, and knock. The same thing He says right here. Effective prayer is persistent. Don't just pray one time and say, God, I need this, they need this, here is this request, and leave it alone. No, you pray fervently. The Bible says in James, we won't look at it, but the effectual fervent prayer, meaning hot. That word fervent means hot, persistent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Be persistent in your prayer. So, God does not promise in these two verses that He'll give you anything you want when you ask. But these five keys, I hope, help us understand this. The proper context of this is that God promises wisdom to believers who seek it, who ask for it. You say, how do you know that? Well, James chapter 1, verse 5, James recorded, inspired by God, if any of you lacks wisdom, Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is one of those things that God promises. If you pray and you ask for it, I'll give it to you. I'll give you all you want. I'll pour it out on you. When you read this in the context, what's he talking about? Verses 1 through 6. Don't have a judgmental, critical attitude toward other people. And what he's getting ready to say is you need to love people. You need to serve people and treat them the way you want to be treated. But you know what? We cannot love and serve others as we should without God's help and wisdom. We can't overcome self-righteous, judgmental attitudes without God's help and His wisdom. We can't help our brother and sister who is in sin without God's help and without God's wisdom and a little bit of humility. See, God provides wisdom to help us know how to love and serve other people. God's Word provides the command and the principles for loving others, but we keep in mind, let's be real practical here. Some people and some situations are different. Sometimes you find yourself in a situation, you're dealing with somebody and they're hard to love. Maybe they're hard to reach, hard to relate to. You don't know how to start the conversation. Pray for wisdom in those times. You've searched God's Word and you say, God, I know I'm supposed to love. You've commanded it. I need to love them without a judgmental, critical spirit. But God, I just don't know how to reach this person. I don't know how to connect with them. God, give me wisdom. Give me instruction on how, insight on how I can connect with this person and love and serve this person as I should. Those are the times. That is what Jesus is talking about here. We need God's wisdom to discern different situations and different people. God wants us, in fact, He wants us to trust and rely Him in any situation, in everything. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I always share this with graduates. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. In other words, put Him first. And He shall direct your paths. I tell college students, you want to know what God's will is for your life. You want to know what it is He wants you to do work-wise. Who does He want you to date and marry? All these things that maybe they're not 100% clear. It tells us and gives us principles in the Word of God. But there are parts of God's will that we have to pursue, and He will reveal it to us as we go through it. But see, the key is, when is He going to direct your paths? When you trust Him with all your heart, you lean not on your own understanding, and you put Him first. You acknowledge Him in all your ways. I tell college students, you start doing what you know God wants you to do. What the Word of God tells us, you do what you know is His will for your life, and He'll start revealing the rest of it to you. Very important. God wants us to rely on Him in anything. We need to study God's Word to know His wisdom, and we need to pray for wisdom in those times when we're unsure how to love other people. God promises to provide wisdom to love. He also, God presents the model for love. Look at verses 9 through 11. He says, "For what man is there among you who, if his son ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" He's continuing and hammering home the point of verse 7 and 8. If you'll ask God for wisdom, to love as you should, to have relationships with other people that are acceptable to Him, He will answer you. Our Heavenly Father lovingly knows how to provide for His children. And what Jesus is saying here, God's interested in every need that you have. Verse 9, He says, "When we ask, He will provide for our physical needs." He gives the example here, if a son asks for bread, a loving father's going to give him bread. That's what a loving parent would do. He provides for our physical needs. He readily provides for what we need to survive physically. But then verse 10, you can miss this if you don't know something. In verse 10, you think, well, he's still talking about providing food. Not exactly. He is talking about food, but there's something deeper here in what Jesus is saying. And the audience would have understood this. In verse 10, he says, when we ask, he will provide for our spiritual needs. You see, fish, for a Jewish person and for the Hebrew people in this audience, fish were ceremonially clean. It was okay to eat fish. But guess what? You couldn't eat snake. Snake was considered unclean. And so if a child asked for a fish and the father secretly prepared a snake and disguised it as fish, that's what Jesus is talking about here. Our Heavenly Father will provide things that will help us grow and survive spiritually. He would not do anything for us or give us anything that would defile us spiritually. He wants to grow us spiritually. That's what Jesus is talking about here in verse 10. And then in verse 11, he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? God only provides the best things for His children. Parents, we instinctively know how we should love our kids, don't we? It's programmed in us. God gave us that innate knowledge of how we should care for our children. We look around our society, we look even in our own community, and there are those who are rejecting that innate knowledge. I tell you, when I helped with the backpack program in the past in our public schools, if you're not familiar with that, we send food home with the kids. I know in the West Jackson community at one time there are 80-some kids. To me, that's still a lot who are going hungry because their parents are either spending it on alcohol, they're spending it on drugs, they're spending it on themselves, and that child goes home over the weekend and has nothing to eat. That is terrible. That is terrible. But we know deep down how we should love and care for our children. We know. And Jesus' point here is that even as sinners, we are able to meet their needs when they ask. We know what they need. And we make incredible sacrifices for our kids to meet their needs. And Jesus' point here is, if we can do it as sinners, just imagine what God, our Heavenly Father, will do for us. He's speaking to how much God loves us. And we should love others the same way our Father loves us. God gave us the model. As the model parent, He gave us the model for how we should love other people. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, His dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. God's love is unconditional and it has no limits. His love is gracious. He loves us even when we don't deserve it. His love is merciful. He holds no grudge. And He forgives us when we repent and say we're sorry. His love is selfless and sacrificial. He offered Himself on the cross for our sins. That's how we need to love other people, the same way we've been loved. As the song said, because I have been loved so much, because I have been given much, I too must give. I too must love as I've been loved. And then verse 12, as I wrap it up, he says, therefore, in light of what he's just said, he says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. God provides wisdom to teach us and show us how to love. He presents the model for love, but he also expects us to love. He commands us to love. We're to treat others the way we want to be treated. The golden rule, as I said earlier, it shows us how we should love. Selflessly and sacrificially. Real love treats others the way I want them to treat me. Real love focuses on the needs of others, not just my own. Real love serves others even when they don't deserve it. Real love serves others and expects nothing in return. Folks, that's God's love for me and you. And that's the love we're to have one for another. The golden rule, Jesus says, it fulfills God's purpose for all of the Old Testament law and prophets. God clearly defines his expectation for love in the Old Testament law. If you just look at the Ten Commandments, they're a summary of the entire complicated law. But if you just look at the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments say, love God. Love him with all your heart and put him first. The last five commandments, guess what they say? Love others. Put them first before yourself. No wonder Jesus said, this is the law and the prophets. In another passage, Matthew chapter 22, we call this the great commandment. Pharisee was asking Jesus, he was trying to trick him, but he said, what is the most important commandment in the law? Jesus said, okay, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Ten commandments, numbers 1 through 4. And then Jesus went a step further and said, the second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus said it again. Exactly what he says right here. Commandments 5 through 10, love your neighbor as yourself. Love others. My love for other people, your love, if you know Jesus Christ, your love for other people is crucial. Why? John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. And then listen to what he said, verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It is a crying shame and a great hindrance to the gospel of Jesus Christ when God's people can't get along. One of the ways the world knows that we are disciples of Jesus Christ is the fact that we love one another. That's why it is so crucial that we have love for one another. Because if we don't, as I've said many times, one of my greatest fears is that I'll have one bonehead moment. One moment where I mess up, and because of whatever I did, it pushed someone away from Jesus Christ. I don't want that on my conscience. I certainly don't want it on my record when I stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ that I did one ignorant thing. Not acting in love, but I did something acting out of my flesh that drove someone away from Jesus Christ. I don't want that on me. It also demonstrates that I'm being led by the Spirit of God. Our kids have been studying this for a while on Wednesday night. So I hope Kids, I hope your ears perk up when I read this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit, what's the very first fruit of the Spirit? Love. 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 Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Against such there is no law. These fruits have to do with our relationships with other people and how we treat other people. They are fruits of the Spirit. What does that mean? If I'm being led by the Spirit, then these are things that are going to come out of me. These are things, just like a tree produces fruit, these are the fruits that are going to come out of me when I am submissive to the Holy Spirit's work and leadership in my life. The very first one is love. Love. A person that does not love is not being led by the Spirit of God. Boy, I could preach a whole sermon just on that. Scripture talks abundantly about that in the New Testament. But even more crucial, and this is where we're going to close today. This is the final thought. It is a sign that I have been born again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Listen to what he says in these verses. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And here is a sobering, sobering piece of Scripture. In that same chapter, you skip down to verse 20, 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. My question to you this morning as we close, first of all, do you have the Spirit of God living within you? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there proof in your life that you know Jesus? Has there been a radical transformation? You can come to Jesus as you are, but you cannot leave Him as you were. When you come to Jesus, when people receive Jesus Christ, He radically changes your life. He changes your heart. He changes your desires. He changes who you are. You no longer desire and you're no longer satisfied with the world and the things of sin, but He gives you a desire for Him, for the things of heaven, the things of God. And that is where your desires, that is where your ambitions, that is where your excitement is. You want to live for Him and please Him and serve Him with all of your heart. To receive Jesus Christ, you have to come to Him on His terms. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Do you remember a time in your life? Has there been a time in your life? You may not know the date. You may not know the exact hour and minute and all that stuff. But do you remember a time in your life where you said, God, I am a sinner. I have broken your commandments. I've broken your heart. I've strayed from you. I am a sinner. But I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you came, spilled your blood at Calvary so that I could be forgiven of my sins, so that I could be redeemed and bought back from the clutches of sin and Satan, so that I could be forgiven and one day have a home in heaven with you. Jesus, I believe that. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe everything that you ever claimed is true. And God, I don't have all the answers. I don't understand it all. But right now, I want to give you my heart and my life. I receive you as my Lord. I make you master and boss of my life, and I surrender to you as Savior and receive you as my Savior to be forgiven of my sins. Do you remember doing that and meaning it? I'm not talking about being at youth camp or something like that, coming down with a group of people and praying the prayer all together and then walking away and you didn't leave any different than you came down. I'm talking about a radical change. That's what Jesus calls for. Even here. You can't say you love God and not love other people. Do you love other people? Because that is one indication that you are a child of God. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? In just a moment, I invite you to do that if you never have. I'm going to tell you. The direction this world is going, the state of our world, not just the United States, the state of our world and our society, it's headed south in a hurry. How anybody cannot believe that the return of Jesus Christ is near. I don't know how. To the believers in the room, how are you treating other people? I'll ask you the same question. Is there proof in your life before God, but also before other people? When people look at you, do they see Jesus Christ? Are you loving and serving other people, or do you just live to serve yourself? How's your attitude, your speech, the way you talk to other people, your behavior? Are you loving and treating other people as God loves and treats you? If you need to come to this altar, we'll make room to spread out. But if you need to do business with God and get on your knees and say, I'm not loving other people. If I'm honest with myself, I talk hateful to other people. I demean other people. I'm critical of other people. I'm not loving other people as Jesus has called me to do. Will you come and get on your face before God and say, God, this sin right here, as David said in Psalm 51, this sin right here, I have sinned against you and committed this sin. And I want to repent of my sin and give this back to you today. Help me to love other people as I should, as you have loved me. Maybe you're a Christian, you've never been baptized, and you'd like to be baptized. That's the first step of obedience. Once you receive Jesus Christ, we're commanded to be baptized. Maybe you'd like to unite with our church. Make a commitment to this church body and say, I feel like this is where God has called me, and I want to make a commitment to you to serve alongside you to help reach this community for Christ. And in turn, we make a commitment to you to support you and stand by you as brothers and sisters in Christ. However the Lord has spoken to you this morning, I invite you to come. Listen to the Spirit of God speak to you right now. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Spirit of God speak to your heart. And respond accordingly. Father, I pray as we close this morning and have this time of invitation. Father, help us. Help us to be open before you. And as this invitation begins, may we not hesitate. to do what we need to do with you, whether it's receiving you as Lord and Savior for the first time and only time, or maybe getting on our knees and saying, God, I've strayed, I've wandered right here, I need to come back. Respond to His voice now. Father, I pray they will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand and sing together, Blessed Be the Tie.
Love you all, and hope to see each of you back at our next appointed time. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for being our Savior, for fixing a sin problem we couldn't fix ourselves. I pray each person here never gets over your love. I hope they never get over the moment they met you. And may we feel the urgency in our society and in our community today to help others know you before it's too late. Go with us from here. Keep us safe. Father, we do pray again for our world. We pray for those who are affected by the COVID mess. We pray for healing. We pray You would heal not just the sickness, but Father, heal the hearts of people in our country. Draw us back to you. May we be a people who seek your face and worship and fear you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Love you all.